Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. Welcome to Hour 2, Thursday, the Early Line Sports Grid. Let's not bury the lead. Kevin Walsh is back. He makes his inaugural return to the Early Line since he started hosting Game Time Decisions and left me with Donnie Wrightside. Okay, Dubs, I even feel like I do not have the honor of truly welcoming in this hour because that was your shindig back in the day. Thank you for being here on the show on this Thursday. Not just a segment, not just a half hour, a full hour run with Kevin Walsh. The reunion on the Early Line, the return to TEL. Kev, glad to have you here.
Yeah, excited to be here. I mean, if you want me to lead the charge, I certainly can. Get Donnie all his favorite hot topics. I know what he likes. We'll figure out whose NIL deal can he complain about. Some transfer portal decisions were made yesterday. Yep. I saw a friend of the program was tweeting out decisions made by kids averaging 0.1 points per game, but that's neither here nor there. I'm excited to be in the mix.
And we are very, very glad to have you here. Go ahead, Donnie, please.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things I got to get out right out of the way. Number two, I mean, why no headset on this show for Kevin Walsh? And also, number three, yeah, we're going to skip right by because I'm going to go to number three here, which is even more important, is the setup there. I'm impressed. So I expect much more of these, like, live hits, but also more importantly, does this mean also, since you don't have to bust out the timesheet anymore, like, does this mean you're going to have off tonight? Do we have to call Joe Ranieri where, you know, I want this day off now because I worked extra in the morning? I mean, we got to get all these stuff, you know, these thought processes out on the air. What is the deal?
Yeah,
you off tonight? No?
I'll be there. I'll always wonder what number one was and why you skipped over it. And I mean, that'll keep me guessing for some time. And when you say no headset, what do you want me to play with my PlayStation headset with the big earmuffs? No, I try to upgrade for a little AirPod situation.
DRS likes that on GTD, Kev. You have the headset in studio.
Oh, that's what
as you
talking
have
about.
That show.
My
and, yeah,
backup
he likes
dancer
that.
Microphone. Yeah, I know. I look like Britney Spears.
Donnie is an aficionado of all things tech when it comes to sports broadcasting, specifically audio equipment. It's why you see that beautiful mic in his shot as well, despite trying to change it when he gets the chance. So there will be a lot of fun in this next hour here on this Thursday on the Early Line. I do guarantee you that, but there will also be just some great content and true analysis and insight, courtesy of OK Dubs as well. Kev, we start in the NBA playoffs. Game number 5 tonight of the Western Conference Finals in Minneapolis between the Timberwolves and the Mavericks. But before we get to Game 5, we look back at what has occurred with already one team into the NBA Championship Series. That's the Boston Celtics. Oh, by the way, the NBA Finals starting exactly 1 week from tonight. Game number 1 is Thursday, June 6th. It will be played inside TD Garden. Kev, as you look back on the postseason bracket, so far in the association, what's one of the main storylines that you think has emerged?
Well, I think Jason Tatum losing out on conference finals MVP was pretty telling. He became the first player to be the best player on his team and not win that award. And it was something that I know I was really interested in and invested in, because so often winning a finals MVP can be correlated with being the best player in the league. And I think it's very apparent whether Tatum cashes that current minus money ticket or not. That's not what he is. He's not in contention for it. His questions are, will he be top five or not? And I know those things will sound arbitrary to people. They aren't. They factor into all of our conversations. They factor into the prices. There is a reason why year in, year out, you will find LeBron's and Steph's and Durant's and even Kawhi's teams right at the top of the odds board. And why all of a sudden Milwaukee and Denver were given the respect that they were. Because they had finals MVPs leading the charge for their roster. And Jason Tatum is favored to get that award. And ultimately, if Boston wins, I think he will. But part of the reason some of those doubts come in is there are people having debates as to whether Tatum is the best player on his own team or not, much less the best player in this sport.
If we are taking a look at the Boston Celtics, because the one thing we can say, let's take out the teams that they played and just look how quickly they've dispatched these teams in the first three rounds. It's pretty impressive. Five games, and four games, as they have a long layoff here before we actually get to the NBA Finals. But are we downgrading the Celtics for who they played and who was injured while they played them? And is that fair to do here, Kevin?
Well, you have to. So it's kind of this Celtics fans specifically, more even than the people who've been backing Boston, have continuously said, oh, you got to play who's in front of you. Yeah, we have to evaluate you based on who's in front of you. In 9 of the 14 games Boston has played, the other team's best player was injured. That's not hyperbole. That's fact. This is a Celtics team that's 1-6 against the number in their last 7 games. That's fact. They have not met expectations, so that's why it doesn't feel as good. Now, Kristaps is going to likely be back for game one and be stunning if he wasn't, which can help this team get to another level. You're talking about a 7-foot floor spacer averaging 20 a night that can protect the rim. But unless Anthony Edwards or Luka Doncic aren't healthy in the next round, automatically Boston's toughest test awaits in the finals.
Kev, it's a really good point, and I wonder how history will look back on what Boston's path was to the Eastern Conference crown and now to the NBA Finals. My follow-up question is, was it weird having Donnie Wrightside ask you a question?
Mm-hmm. No. We had some odd stretches where DRS would throw me the NBA. They didn't last forever, though. But we had our stretches there. Plus, Donnie always teasing up on Moneyline, hottest radio program right behind Carver and Lisa.
I mean, listening today, Kevin's got a special guest appearance today coming up in the afternoon from what I hear. So we'll see if we can get that out of him as well. There you go. Yeah.
Ugly scene. And no love for football full circle. That's pretty tough as well. But, Kev, when you look at the Boston Celtics, co-favorites in the preseason to win the NBA championship alongside the Milwaukee Bucks, the NBA's best team record-wise all regular season long, having that best mark entering the postseason, home floor advantage. And for this core that we have seen for the C's, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, so on and so forth, the goal has always been not win the East, but win number 18, the 18th Larry O'Brien Trophy in the long and illustrious history of this Boston franchise, knowing they will be an odds-on minus money favorite entering the NBA Finals, probably better than a $2 price in minus money to win the NBA Finals. Is Boston the team that you believe that has the ceiling to win an NBA championship this season?
I mean, look, we know they have the ceiling. I think figuring out who, if I'll pick them to actually win, is still up in the air. I want to see how Dallas closes. If they don't close, obviously that would completely change the outcome. I will say this, though, as far as a positive for the Celtics, they do have the most reliable duo in the sport. They don't have the best duo. They don't have the most accomplished duo. But as far as being banked on, we know we're going to get to a certain level. That's what you have in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Because this team being in the Eastern Conference Finals, or even making it out of the East, is not something that we thought, oh, that was only going to happen if there was injury. We thought that was going to happen regardless. And you look at these other duos. Oh, Giannis can never stay healthy in the playoffs, right? Whatever duo Embiid is a part of can't stay healthy. Jamal Murray. I mean, is Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic a better duo, a more accomplished duo? You can say yes, but that wasn't a bankable squad. Even LeBron and Anthony Davis. At the beginning of every season, at the beginning of every playoffs, can we trust these guys to stay healthy? So I think that is something that Boston has going for them, a duo that many have asked, hey, does this duo actually work? This duo's floor is the highest of anybody in basketball.
The reunion continues for the whole hour, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh is not going anywhere. And we showed you the odds, the Dallas Mavericks, the second best price to win an NBA title, as you would assume. But is this series over? Does Kevin Walsh think there is life in the Western Conference Finals? I can't hear your inside joke when I'm talking. More of the Early Line up next.
Bring back game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ahead of game number 5 tonight in the Western Conference Finals in Minneapolis, Kevin Walsh gives his thoughts on the WCF between Dallas and Minnesota to this point. The reunion and the return continues live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. So, Kev, games 1, 2, and 3, Dallas victorious. The Mavericks up to a 3-0 series advantage entering game number 4. Minnesota staves off elimination on Tuesday night to flip venues for a second time. We head back to the Twin Cities for a 5th game tonight. What has stood out to you most about how the Western Conference Finals has played out so far?
I think the gap between Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards. With respect to Anthony Edwards, it's not close. That's the gap between a Tier 1 and a Tier 2. And a player in this sport. But Tier 1 is a very, very short list that Luka Doncic is on, and we've seen that play out. I mean, the price for Luka to lead this series in points reflected the books completely believed that who was the best player in this series was a very real question. However, Kyrie Irving is still, in the 4 games, outplayed Anthony Edwards over the in totality. I know Kyrie was bad in Game 4. But the fact that Luka is just separating that much and has to separate from Kyrie, and he's not been able to. And Kat has obviously been abysmal for the 3 games that this team has lost. So that to me, and I know that that's kind of very base level, the stars. So I think that's a big part of it. But the reason it is one team can guard the other guy's stars and the other team cannot. I know we always look at Minnesota, it's like, oh, I wish the offense was better. I wish Gobert learned literally one post move at any point in his NBA career. But that's a team built on defense, and they cannot guard Luka Doncic. They absolutely can.
If we get some takeaways from like game number 4 and you say, okay, finally, Anthony Edwards is in this series. Finally, Carl Anthony Towns is in this series. Sometimes it's a little bit too late, but then again, better late than never at this point. My expectations for game number 5, let's just say we do get a victory out of the Timberwolves. Are they the same for you, Kevin, which means Anthony Edwards better be in the 30s. Carl Anthony Towns better be 45% plus from 3-point range, or they don't have a chance at victory. But the fact that they played extremely well in game number 4 gives me an honest effort to say, you know what? I think we get a game 6. How do you feel coming off of that game number 4, the play tonight for the 2 superstars for the Timberwolves will be tonight?
Yeah, I don't share the same optimism because I think there's still some negatives within that performance, both guys. Cat has been in foul trouble, it feels like, all postseason. Well, here we go again. He could have had a smooth 30 in the game. Instead, he only played 30 minutes because he fouled out. And that means that if he can't be very efficient from the floor, it's going to be hard for him to lose. And as far as Anthony Edwards goes, he can't shoot 50% from the floor. He is now incapable of it. He's done it once in his last 7 games that he's played in this postseason, if even once. So this team did not win because their offense was much better. Their defense woke up. They held Luka and Kyrie well below their level. Both of those guys, 33% from the floor. So the only way they win, unless you think that both of those stars are going to be able to snap out of it fully on the Minnesota side, is if their defense can have a repeat performance. Because Minnesota scoring 105, Donnie, in game number 4 is a number that wouldn't have been good enough in any of the prior games to get that victory.
So Minnesota's only pathway here is through excellent defense, and I think there's still too much of a sample size in this series that suggests they can't guard Luka. Mostly, they struggle to guard Kyrie even.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because the two, sometimes it comes down to which superstars are just going to play better on a day-to-day basis. But also, more importantly, it's really hard to beat a great basketball team or even an above-average basketball team in four straight games. It's why we didn't have a sweep in this series. But then also, you're looking for Minnesota to pull off a sweep, technically, going now off against Dallas, which I don't think is going to take place. But if we are looking forward to an extended series here, is there a chance? Because I know, like, jumping ahead and saying, I would love to see a game number seven. Knowing that, I didn't even think we'd get past game number four. I thought the Mavericks would wrap it up. Now we sort of have a series, and the expectations are the Timberwolves at a -4.5-point spread will win this game tonight and force a game number six. In your opinion here, what's the thought process for you if we do see an extended series means going seven? Is there a chance in your mind we can even get there?
Yeah, I'd be stunned. Dallas hasn't lost back-to-back games all postseason. So that's why I think I think there's a lot of people, DRS, who feel like you that, okay, this has to be Minnesota tonight, which is fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, beating Minnesota in every game in their building in this series is a very difficult ask of any basketball team, which is what Dallas would be trying to do. But they've already done it twice, and they've not lost back-to-back. And I think what we've seen from this series is it's just, if it's going to be close no matter what, with five to go, more often than not, Dallas is going to be able to take it out. But I would say this as well. Doesn't it feel like one of those situations where you can actually take the points and feel like you could see a Minnesota win, but a Dallas cover? It's been that type of series. I think there were 5.5s out there maybe last night. You guys, I have obviously been up all morning, so you would know a little bit better than me. But I think there are some people probably clicking on Dallas under the idea that, you know, we can stay inside this number, win or lose.
Yeah, as Donnie has shared, 78% of the public betting has been on the Mavericks with the spread. And I would agree with you, Kev. Three of the four games in this series decided by 5 points or less. All four games decided by 9 points or less. I do think there is a world the Timberwolves win outright, force a sixth game, but Dallas does cover. Of course, the victorious team in the first four games, because three of them outright as an underdog, have also covered the number. I got really nervous there. Our Wi-Fi here in studio crapped out for just a moment. I thought I was being kicked out, and they were trying to bring back the real TEL, the real reunion, and have me third wheel. I got very nervous, Kev.
Listen, Chris from Austin, I think would be ecstatic, but Ben's not going anywhere.
I didn't even get that inside joke. I got to look at that during the commercial break. But, Kev, we'll get your actual thoughts on Game 5, your best bets, spread, total, and, of course, player props to pay attention to for the fifth game of the Western Conference Finals tonight in Minnesota between the Timberwolves and the Mavericks with OK Dubs. Up next, live right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Dallas Mavericks one win away from the NBA Finals. Minnesota trying to pick up its second consecutive win to keep the Western Conference Finals and their season alive. It is game number 5 tonight in Minneapolis between the T-Wolves and the Mavs, and Kevin Walsh is here to preview it all. A 4.5-point spread, Kev, in favor of Minnesota at home. The total at 209 and a hook, the second highest over-under we have seen now in the five games of the WCF. What are the numbers telling you about how game 5 plays out tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking for Dallas to win this game, but as somebody that's holding Mavs to win the West preseason, I tell you both understand this. I can't Joe Lisi it, right? Like, I just am looking for Dallas to close this out instead of laying Dallas -6 in this basketball game and doubling down on the stance. I'm sure you guys have been getting into these head-to-head specials markets that have started to come available on FanDuel. And the combo market for Luka and Ant is pretty tempting. The combined points at 58.5. Luka held under 30 for the first time that he's played Minnesota regular or postseason. I think 35 could very well be in range. And as much as I'm talking kind of down on the Anthony Edwards performances, if he at any point can shoot 55% from the field, which you would think he'd be able to do at least once, then even 35 in his own right could be in range here. I don't believe they hang kind of alts in this head-to-head specials market. I don't think we're there yet, while that would be tempting. I think a straight over 58.5 with one of these guys probably being able to carry the load significantly is one of the more tempting options in this game.
If we're taking a look at some of these, you know, you look at Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, 1 and 1A there for Dallas. Then you take a look at Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, same thing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you were going to approach this game and remove those four players, does anybody have your eye who you feel can step up and give you a positive effort?
How's it not Derek Lively? I'm thinking he plays tonight. At the end of the day, this team's unbeaten in this series with Derek Lively in their lineup. Now, not starting lineup, off of the bench. And I think that's going to be very interesting for the books, right? They're not pricing a starter. They're already factoring in him being a bench piece. What do the Derek Lively props look like? Is it just kind of copy-paste what we saw game one, game two, game three? But again, he didn't play a lot, obviously, in game three. Lively had been phenomenal to start this series. He was going to really challenge Rudy Gobert for the series rebound lead. I don't know if that's tight at the moment between Luka and Rudy, but Derek Lively was the leader, actually, yeah, in that market. Not the favorite, but like he had the most rebounds heading into that third basketball game. So I really want to see the Derek Lively props. I'm not sure if either of you have kind of seen those just yet this morning, but I think that's one of the key factors in this basketball game.
On the old Fizz, Diz, not available at the moment, not hanging any Derek Lively props on the rookie out of Duke, but he is a perfect 13 of 13 from the field in the three games in this series, only 9 minutes accrued in game number three. And to Kev's point, 14 points, 9 boards in game two, sensational, 9 points, 11 rebounds in game number one. You're almost surprised, DRS. Now the Jersey guy and old K-Dubs didn't look at the fellow Jersey guy in Naz Reid, that secondary option perhaps for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I feel that was supposed to be me. I'm supposed to answer that one? Yeah, what was that, Ben? I mean, come on now. I mean, just throwing that out in the air.
I was just trying to have a little fun with my friends.
Yeah, Nas from three-point range? Come on, Nas from three-point range tonight? Come on, sign me up on that. Sign me up.
I was hoping one of the Jersey guys that live in New Jersey but claim different states would take it.
Easy. I'm from New York. He's from Philadelphia, pal. Neither of us have even heard of New Jersey. Now, Donnie, let me ask you this. Have you still been betting PJ Washington for 4 or 5+ threes or what?
No.
Has he let you down?
No, way off of that last game, Kevin, because, again, shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook hooking me up with the $10, you know, super bets there that I can put in. I had a 50-to-1 parlay, which came down to one assist shy, Kevin, on that triple-double. So I don't know if I'm going to get back in that market at 10-to-1, but I have not been looking at PJ. By the way, that was one of the best kept secrets in basketball for my guy PJ knocking down massive triples every night. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, not bad.
We got our flow down right here. That's for sure. This green box.
Where
are
we at?
We are cooking and rolling.
I'll tell you right now. I'm comfy. Cozy in this house.
Yeah, you might have to take that chair right back. Kevin Walsh, 35 seconds left in this segment. What is your best bet for game five?
For me, again, right now, that Luka Anthony Edwards combo market looks to be the best number on the board. 58.5 points. Juice is not bad. I think -112. I really like what we're seeing there.
How many plays you think we'll have by the time game time decisions hits the airwaves tonight?
Listen, we don't go crazy. You know, 2, 3, depends how we're seeing the board. Baseball board could be given out today, though.
Change some of those plays. Change them.
Listen, more T-E-L up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now, of all the segments in this hour of the reunion tour here on the Early Line, this is the one that's going to win that sports Emmy next year. This is the one that will bring home the hardware. I have no doubt about it. Because with Kevin Walsh making his debut voyage back, or as he might like me to say, his maiden voyage back on the Early Line on this Thursday, we are talking Bronny and Braun. with old K-Dubs as we look forward to the 2024 NBA draft later in June. And, of course, the entire offseason ahead this summer in the association. Kev, are you ready? Are you excited?
I mean, listen, you're talking about the face of the NBA and the face of the NBA draft. And luckily, I'm here to step up and carry the torch because in a time like there's a lot of bad takes out there. I mean, a lot of bad takes. I mean, a lot of terrible, terrible, awful, awful, horrendous takes out there.
Terrible NBA takes draft with terrible headline. Basketball players. Tough scene.
And so it begins.
Is this a Tobias Harris draft segment? Oh, I didn't realize.
Actually, see, he might agree with you on that, though.
Uh-oh. I know he will. Guy's terrible.
Donnie, Tobias Harris plays for the Sixers. All right, NBA draft deadline day yesterday around the association and college hoops, and it was confirmed what we expected, Bronny James foregoing the remainder of his college eligibility and will remain in the 2024 NBA draft. So, Kev, what do you think the outlook is? What are the prospects for Bronny James in terms of this draft that is just less than 4 weeks away?
Well, look, first of all, the decision, the obvious correct decision made by Bronny James. Again, most people commenting on this have no idea what they're talking about. Bronny is doing something that a bunch of other kids have done before him. Some are doing in this class, and that's taking their chance to be drafted off of their high school pedigree, where Bronny was a top 25 player, McDonald's All-American, who was climbing up big boards. I know people pretend this didn't happen, but it did. Mock drafts before the college basketball season, really before Bronny's cardiac arrest, which again often doesn't seem to ever be discussed, but nevertheless, had Bronny as a potential lottery selection. Now, Bronny obviously didn't have a good year at USC. Nobody did. Their head coach left that program to coach basketball at SMU. You go figure that out and what that says about that program. But for Bronny, the idea that him going back to school and playing at Duquesne would be better for his NBA draft prospects is one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard. Name literally any player in the A-10. Is that where Duquesne plays? Who could possibly think that that would be better for Bronny getting drafted than going off of the hype that still surrounds him from when he was in high school? So the decision made here right off the bat, the correct one, as I've been saying, for Bronny James.
And I do agree with that notion because this is a historically bad draft. Like, Ben and I were joking earlier, like, these guys going back to college with legitimate resumes, I don't know what they're waiting for at this point. If there's ever one draft to put your name in, it is this draft at this point. Now, also, I don't know how good LeBron James' son is going to be in the NBA. We'll find out. But the fact of the matter is people are getting upset, and here's where I come to the defense of Bronny James. Outside of the lottery, not even the NBA teams care about those picks whatsoever. They trade them back and forth. Hey, you want 6 second-round picks? Go ahead and take it. So the fact that if somebody takes Bronny James early second or late first, it really has no bearing on that basketball team because typically we don't hear about those players after a couple of years in the NBA anyway. So whether or not he's a good basketball player when he gets drafted is irrelevant to me. Now, granted, he's not going to get drafted top 3, top 5, and top 10 where those impact players will be. But Bronny James making an NBA roster just based on this scenario, I can see it. But let me ask you this, Kevin. Do we agree with Bronny James turning down all of those, hey, look, let's get a look-see in practice? No. Just Phoenix and just L.A. And by the way, if any other team thinks of drafting me in the second round, it's not a two-way contract. It's a one-way. I'm going to be an NBA player. What are the thoughts on that?
So I think it's super fascinating. Again, I think it feeds all the wrong people with all the wrong takes. Oh, Bronny thinks he's too good for these teams. Bronny has been very upfront that he just wants to play in the NBA. And if Bronny was going to be given his chances from the Knicks, the Sixers, the Jazz, turning those down is an insane risk. And a risk that Bronny, I don't think, would be wanting, nor Rich Paul, whose job is to make sure that Bronny is drafted. So that says to me, Bronny has a promise. We know those exist during draft cycles, NBA and NFL. They probably do it in the NHL and Major League Baseball as well. Those drafts just aren't as popular. But nevertheless, it is one of those situations where I am under the impression him canceling those workouts means he has a promise from Phoenix. We're taking you if you're on the board. I know that sounds jarring to people, but the Suns draft 22. In 2 days, we will find out if the Lakers are selecting at 17 or if it's the Pelicans. But if the Suns are at 22 and the Lakers are at 17, that's where I'm starting to believe we see Bronny come off the board.
As of this moment, to Kevin's point, the LA Lakers do not have a first-round pick. In fact, they only have one draft selection as of this current juncture, later in round number two. So, Kev, the LA Lakers, the Phoenix Suns, the only two teams that have a three-digit price to draft Bronny James. That is my follow-up question to you. Where ultimately do you think Bronny James lands, and in what round?
I still think it's the Lakers. I'm thinking it's in the first round. Maybe I'm insane. It just feels like the Lakers are going to do everything they believe will make LeBron happy. I fully believe that LeBron is not telling them, hire J.J. Redick, draft my son, because then kind of out of his hands. But there has to be an understanding in the room that doing those things will make LeBron happy, because priority number one for that organization is keeping LeBron a part of that organization. What I think is more fascinating is the Phoenix Suns seem to be the only team who are still under this impression that if you draft Bronny, LeBron joins the team. You know, if you take a look at those that odds group, just those ball clubs right there. Again, if Utah takes Bronny, that has to be Danny Ainge being spiteful. But anybody else drafting Bronny and then thinking LeBron comes with them is absolutely massive, and it would be a huge win for that team. If the Knicks or the Suns or the Cavs or the Sixers added LeBron to their roster, that would, of course, be worth whatever selection they used on Bronny James.
Let's be honest, though. Let's bring up the player card here for Bronny James and what he did in his stellar activities at USC on a horrendous basketball team. Oh, what does outside of being LeBron James's son, what does he offer? And if somebody tells me defense at 6'1", he is going to get, like, if he goes to the Philadelphia 76ers, there's a playground at 8th and Diamond. A dozen players would cook him left and right on a day-to-day basis. What does he actually add to an NBA roster? What does he add?
Yeah, so again, he has a massive high school pedigree and was a projected lottery pick.
His dad gave it to him. Would never play it in McDonald's.
No, see, and that's what I'm talking about, right? I'm glad
he actually would have been a Duquesne if his dad wasn't LeBron.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad at the beginning you pretended to give the actual take and then gave that nonsense. He's about the same size as Avery Bradley, who everybody said was the best defender in the league for half a decade anyway, which again, you're completely unaware of. And at the end of the day, Isaiah Collier, who you're also unaware of, was supposed to be the first overall pick, and because of that awful USC team, might not go in the lottery. But that's okay. That's why I'm here. That's why they woke me up, to help you through this.
And he is away. I'm just sitting back eating popcorn for the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so after the Bronny James discussion, we delve into all that Kevin Walsh can do. Now to Major League Baseball, following Memorial Day weekend, to get his thoughts on what we have seen around MLB. Of course, Kev, over the weekend, the big news out of Atlanta, Ronald Acuña Jr. out for the remainder of this year with a torn ACL. The Braves did see their price get longer, but not by all that much. In fact, as of this moment, four teams around the major leagues have a three-digit price, including Atlanta. led, of course, by the Dodgers at plus 260, nearly half the number of the Yankees at 5-1. The Phillies snapped a short three-game skid yesterday with a 6-1 win in San Francisco over the Giants, and the Phillies, the best record in baseball, third-best price to win the World Series at plus 650. What has been your evaluation of this Major League Baseball campaign about 2 months into it?
Well, I mean, the New York Yankees are quite the story because, oh, look, they finally added a star caliber player, and there you go. I know the pitching's been amazing. I get it. It's obviously a big part of it. But Aaron Judge for the first month of this season was awful, and the Yankees were still great. And now he's woken up, and it's a 1-2 race at the top of the American League MVP board between Judge and Soto. And it's one of those things where now we project the Yankees as far as the postseason goes, which they're, of course, expected to make, and they're expected to win the American League East and potentially have the best record overall in the AL. And you look at it and go, okay, we like the pitching now, right? You would think Gerrit Cole would pitch in the postseason. The Yankees are going to be able to continue to be very cautious with bringing him back. But when you get to that lineup, it's not a one-man show. Again, I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time here on the early line when you go through the daily baseball card. But I remember so often last year, 2 years ago, we'd run through a Yankees lineup and Donnie would go, only Judge. That's it. You'd have names, LeMahieu, Rizzo, but they weren't hitting. Stanton, they weren't delivering. It's a team now that has two guys they can lean on. And it's going to be very rare that at least one of them isn't swinging a hot bat, which will always keep the rest of your lineup competitive.
There is parity in Major League Baseball, and that parity usually shows up in the playoffs as opposed to the regular season where really it's supposed to. But if I'm looking at the top four teams in Major League Baseball and splitting them up, Kevin, 2-2, well, two National League teams, two American League teams, to me, it really is the Dodgers and the Phillies, the Yankees, and also the Orioles, and I don't see much pushback from anybody behind them. The Braves would have been there, but you can't lose a Cy Young pitcher and an MVP and expect still to be yourself. And also, the Philadelphia Phillies with a 5 or 6 game lead now this early, typically you're down 5 or 6 games this early to the Braves to try to chase them down. Outside of those top four teams, do you see any other teams that can sort of creep into that equation? Because for me, it looks like the top four and everybody else.
I think the difficult thing is, so far, history would suggest that the bye is not helpful, right? Let's forget the idea that the bye is harmful, which is absolutely on the board. It suggests it is not a beneficial, something that is beneficial to these teams at the top. So I think you're right, Donnie. Those are the four best clubs. Because again, the Atlanta stuff, sometimes there's injuries, there's overreactions in value. I hate every Atlanta number. Like if you made me bet a Brave number, it would be to miss the playoffs. I just don't think you're getting enough at that 14-1 marker. But I think based on what we've seen from Major League Baseball, even if you're right, Donnie, those teams at the top are the best in the bunch. And I bet Baltimore before the year to win a World Series. If I were to bet another team, I'd want a big ticket. I expect this team to be in the mix type of team, a San Diego Padres, a Milwaukee Brewers, for example.
When you look, Kev, at the individual awards right now in the American League MVP market, it is Juan Soto as the favorite, plus 260, about 70 cents in front of his New York teammate in Aaron Judge. But there are five guys, all with a 6-1 price or less, only separated by about $3.5. At the end of the year, do you think it will be a conversation between only Juan Soto and Aaron Judge? Or can somebody else, a Bobby Witt Jr., a Kyle Tucker, win that American League MVP award?
Well, what's really odd about the pricing on Soto and Judge is if you use wins above replacement, which is a huge factor into winning this award, Gunnar Henderson's one, Bobby Witt's two, and Kyle Tucker's three. It's Judge at four and then Soto at five. And Soto is currently the favorite of the bunch. I don't know if that's a star power thing. I don't know if it's a narrative of Soto helped turn the Yankees around. Again, this is a team that missed the playoffs last year, right? He's not joining a team that won 95 games last season and dominated the American League. I don't know if that's we trust Soto to keep this up a lot more than everyone else. But again, if season ended today, if Soto won that award, it would, I think, have to then be under the idea of he turned the Yankees season around and he gets the lion's share of the credit for that.
Now, here's the issue, Kevin. I mean, you missed the point that you bring up all the time. Look who's 1-2 here in the race. It's Soto, it's Judge, which means they are going to split their votes, and that gives it to Bobby Witt Jr. here, the Kansas City Royals, because nobody else on that team is actually going to be an MVP. Outside of that, I love what Gunnar Henderson is doing, but have you seen Corey Seager lately here on a team that's won the World Series, 8 home runs in 8 days, 30-1 price right now at this point. So just getting back to, again, Soto and Judge, it's a shame that they're both really good on the same team. No shot they win the MVP. Though. That's the point.
What about the NL MVP market, though, Donnie? Are they going to cancel both awards?
Look, you got to do that. Look, no Dodgers, no Yankees here. You just give it to the next best player with only one guy fighting for that award. That's how everything is won here in the MVP market here, BSS. This is the way it is.
Yeah, that'd be Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, the two front runners in the National League MVP award odds right now. Mookie Betts, the short favorite, plus 125. But what Donnie has failed to mention is the guy tied for third with Bryce Harper is William Contreras for the Milwaukee Brewers. So then just next in line, it wouldn't go to Harper. It would go to Contreras, it might seem. Right, Kev?
Yelich is on that team. Now Yelich is there.
I mean, does Ozuna get it now that Acuna bowed out of the race? Ooh, is that perhaps
you know, wow.
Was the ACL there to help out a fellow friend?
Right.
Does Donnie start the Marcell Ozuna for NL MVP campaign? One that Kevin Walsh and I will stay far away from. Pump talk with OK Dubs up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Since Kevin Walsh has left the early line and now hosting Game Time Decisions each and every weeknight, it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Fire.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I think there's a little bit of salt you guys need to work through here.
Donnie misses me quite a bit, I think, is the real problem.
I think so.
And, you know, he's kind of like the elementary school kid, you know? He bullies the ones he loves.
Right. That's true. That makes sense. Listen, on GTD, kept holding it down.
3 hours now.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I understand DRS, but you love your 3 hours. You really, really do.
Let's do a whole segment as Donnie complains about his job. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, these two guys I'm on camera with, they get vacation time. Your boy DRS doesn't get any vacation time. I'm here every day. They're off all the time. I mean, it's unbelievable. I still got to fill out a timesheet. They don't do that. I mean, what's coming to it? Yeah.
Now, clip that. Let's get a Slack chat going. Donnie's pitch to become full time.
Yeah. A lot of demands on the air. Yep, a lot of demands.
Well, I had to do a 2-hour training yesterday. I don't think you want to be a part of that. But since Kevin Walsh has been anchoring things down on Game Time Decisions, both during the week and, of course, throughout the weekends as well, in this very notable time of postseason action, he's a hockey guy now. Kev, how has the Stanley Cup postseason been going for you, my friend?
Listen, I got to say, you know, what a benefit for you to now have two of the biggest hockey guys here at your side. Yeah, I can only imagine how much puck you've learned from Donnie throughout this postseason. And listen, not just saying it because I'm here on the FanDuel Sportsbook sponsored show, but the specials that they've had for these series have been quite something. I mean, it really has. They had one. I should have sent this to you the other day, DRS. Plus 144 after the first game. For there to be 4 goals or more in every game of this Stars-Oilers series.
Wow.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. This thing's a rocket ship right now. We had an Igor. It was minus 215 at the time for 20-plus saves in every game of this series. I mean, this bed ladder is up to near minus 500. So we're in business right now, FanDuel Sportsbook special style, when it comes to the hockey, and we're absolutely loving it.
This is where you pick up Donnie and ask him a question. Yeah.
Now, out of curiosity, is your guys' chemistry always this robust? Possibly shine through this much?
Yeah.
Is it so fluid each and every day?
The bad commentary from the guy in the middle is throwing me and Ben off right now. That's what the problem is.
Now, on good display, we talk over each other. Donnie, ask him a question for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at this, too, because the New York Rangers right now, home ice advantage now back. We are hockey guys. Why are the Rangers so disrespected in every single market, it feels like, every single night? Because right now, you'd say to yourself, the Rangers, a +380 price, the worst on the board to win the Stanley Cup, even though they finished with the most points in the NHL. As a true Ranger fan yourself, you live right next door to Madison Square Garden. How does it feel? Like, how does this feel with the Rangers being disrespected?
I will say, look, it's very clear that the Rangers are not viewed as the best team, despite the best record, which is stuff that we accept in other sports all the time. I think as, you know, through and through hockey guys, obviously it's a bit jarring to see. I think what's interesting is what would the Rangers price look like against Edmonton? I think it's pretty clear they'd be dogs against the Stars if they met in the Cup. I think the Panthers would be favored over either of the teams out west. I don't have a great read on what the series would look like if it were the it's hypothetical. Oh, it's out. Oh, Edmonton would be the favorite. Oh, wow. Shout out.
Yeah.
FanDuel has more hockey markets than any sport in the world. I do not know why that is. I can't figure it out, but there's more hockey markets than anything else. Interesting. All right. There you go.
Yep, those hypothetical finals are out. Both teams from the West would be favorites over the Rangers. Outside of their opening round against the Caps, in which New York swept Washington, they've been an underdog in these last two series entering against Carolina and now, of course, against the Florida Panthers, an underdog in the series back inside Madison Square Garden for Game 5 tonight because they're a home ice underdog in Game 5. That series tied at 2-2. Kevin Walsh, this has been fun. This entire hour here on this Thursday on the early line has been a blast. How did it feel to be back here on TEL?
Felt great. I mean, a lot of fun. I think closing on hockey, questionable a little bit from the fellas in the back. We'll have to clean that up a little bit, I think, no doubt. And we'll get him next time. Next time, football season. Yeah.
Next
maybe.
Time,
I
mean, there won't listen, be no next even, time.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, Monty. I love what you're saying, pal. Thanks, fellas.
That chemistry still rolling. Hour 3 starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.